Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." The church is the keeper of the flame. We must never allow the light of the gospel to grow dim or to go out. That's the topic of today's message. Back in 1970, Ronnie Henson wrote a famous song that has been recorded and sung countless numbers of times over the last 52 years. Ronnie's late older brother, Kenny, once told the story of how this song came to be. Kenny said, "The song was written in 1970 in the downstairs bathroom of a church that was then called the Pentecostal Tabernacle. We had been rehearsing songs that Saturday evening and found the necessity to have some new material to add to our stage performance that evening. Ronnie disappeared for several minutes only to return to the church sanctuary brandishing a long, fluttering piece of toilet paper. After some collaboration with Kenny, the world-famous song, The Lighthouse, was born. It was first recorded the very next year by the Happy Goodmans and later on by the Hensons. Songs of Calvary and Journey Music, then owned by Rusty Goodman, co-published that song, and Elvis soon recorded it thereafter. The Lighthouse quickly became a huge hit in Southern gospel music, and it remains one of the most recorded songs in all of gospel music. You probably can quote the words to that wonderful song. "There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is that lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone the light around me so that I can clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?" Well, you know, in this modern age of radar and sonar and all manner of high-tech detecting devices, the lighthouse idea has become obsolete. However, there are still times when in this sophisticated equipment doesn't work because of a power failure on board the ship or because of a shortage in the console in the control room on that boat. And you know, that happens often during a storm as the ship is being tossed about and they have a failure. The only hope at that point is they hope they have a lighthouse pointing their way into shore. So obsolete or not, that lighthouse still saves lives as it always did. The lighthouse is no more or less dependable than if you have instruments on board, but the lighthouse is always there, always in the right place, and always pointing people to the right place. Instruments can get out of whack, they can get out of alignment, they can lose their bearing and point you in the wrong direction. A lighthouse will never do that. With the light from that old house that stands up there on the hill, we can always find our way home. Well, now that we know one thing for sure, Jesus Christ is the only true light in the universe. Everything else is artificial. Even the light we shine is merely a reflection of the true light, or we can point our mirrors in another direction and choose to reflect a different light. That is our choice. Our sophisticated instruments have to point to the source of truth if they're going to work. If you take a compass that doesn't point north, it's not going to be dependable to take you in any other direction either. So it has to point to the true source in order to be accurate. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we read where John the Baptist was called to preach the coming of the true light of Jesus Christ, the light that lights the heart of every man. But the Messiah gave us some insight as to who would be used to reflect his pure light to the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I want us to take a look at the church and see whether or not we are really reflecting the light of Christ, or to see if perhaps our light is being reflected from another source that is not dependable. Is the light that we are giving to the world really the light of Christ, or is our mirror pointed elsewhere? If our light's getting dim, then we know it cannot shine brightly. It can't do both at the same time. It's my hope that by the end of this message today, God will reveal to us just how brightly or dimly we're shining our light for Him. We hope to find some things that will allow us to let our little light shine, as the song said. Some time ago, I read an article, I think it came from National Geographic, concerning a lighthouse that I want to use to illustrate a point today. Offshore of the state of North Carolina, near the outer banks of the continental shelf, lies one lighthouse that is over one of the most dangerous stretches of ocean in the world. Over the past 400 years, there have been more than 300 ships that sunk in this tiny little area. It became known as the Graveyard of the Atlantic. What makes this area so dangerous? Well, the problem is a 14-mile stretch of sandbar. It's constantly shifting as the water moves around. They call it the Diamond Shoals. Recognizing the danger in this area and the need to warn ships at sea of this sandbar, the U.S. government constructed a lighthouse on Cape Hatteras in 1870. By day, the navigators could tell where they were on the coast by the unique paint pattern and design on the lighthouse. By night, they could tell which lighthouse it was by the frequency of the light flash. Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is the biggest lighthouse in the United States. It stands 208 feet tall. That's pretty tall when you think about a building, that structure. Our tower, radio tower here in Quitman, is 315 feet. But now this lighthouse, besides being 208 feet, has 48-inch thick walls. They used 1.25 million bricks to construct this lighthouse, and the internal cast iron staircase has 248 steps from the bottom to the top. If you've ever looked at pictures of lighthouses, I'm sure you've seen photos of this one. It's the only one in the world that's painted candy stripe and black and white. And what's the main purpose of the lighthouse? It was built to save lives and property. That is the purpose of which it was built. When you think about it, the church's mission is the same as the lighthouse. The world out there is a dark and dangerous place, and it is getting darker and more dangerous as we get closer to the last days. People are sailing through their life in very dangerous waters, and the devil is constantly throwing new obstacles in their paths. Have you ever been cruising through life feeling good about things? Feeling like you were on top of the world, but then suddenly you hit a snag, a sickness, a disease, the loss of a job, troubles in your home, or even a division in your church, and you begin to feel like your life had just fallen apart? Well, these are some of the shifting sandbars that are in our lives. You see, the devil's purpose is to steal our victory. He wants to steal our lives and to sink our ship all the way down to the pits of hell. But thank God there is a lighthouse in this dark and dangerous world. God has put a lighthouse in the darkness that projects it to a light into the seas of life. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ has the same bright light shining forth in the brightest lighthouses the world would have, because we have the same type of responsibility as Christians as those lighthouse operators have. Our purpose is the same, to reflect the light of the gospel of Christ and to lead souls in the direction that is away from being destroyed on the rocks of sin. I'm often very worried about the church in general, because we seem to have forgotten our true purpose for existence. We have become to believe that our purpose is simply to be emotional, physical, and material needs meters of all of mankind. But that is simply not our purpose at all. The purpose of the church, the purpose of Christians being left in the world after being saved, is not primarily, believe it or not, to provide shelter for the homeless or food for the starving or to improve the conditions of third world nations or to counsel dysfunctional families or to work in, to correct abuse or to comfort in aiding the sick or saving the whales or saving the rainforest. Our purpose is not to just have fellowship one with the other in the small group we call our church. It's not only about coming together for times of praise and worship. Our primary purpose is to fulfill the Great Commission first and foremost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. That is our primary purpose. Now, once we have the primary purpose where it should be, then the other work of the church begins to take place as we provide shelter for the homeless, food for the starving, and all the other things that we as Christians do. But we must keep our priorities in line if the rest of these things are going to be blessed of the Lord. Christ taught us that the soul is more important than your body. When he said the body, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and that of which is to come. That's 1 Timothy 4:8. Christ also taught us that eternity is vastly more important than time itself, so that our focus should be on things eternal and not on things of the world. He said these words, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Matthew 6:19-23. And then, is there any doubt that you ask yourself this question? Who is it that's better off, Lazarus, a poor man in heaven, or the rich man who found himself in hell? Well, Christ himself answered that question in Matthew 16:26. "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul?" We are fishers of men, but we don't fish like natural fishermen. You see, fishermen are never satisfied with the quality or quantity they catch, no matter how much the church grows. We think it has to be bigger and bigger and bigger. We're always expecting greater things and praying for a greater move of the Holy Spirit. We're constantly throwing out the net and baiting the hook. We try to catch every kind of fish in the seas. Then we do all we can see to see that none escape and go back to the world of sin again. The light in Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is made extremely powerful and bright through the use of prisms. that focus that light as it reflects from mirrors to a central point or a beam that is projected out into the darkness. Originally, it was whale oil that was burned and produced that light. Then there was a gas vapor light used for a while, and then came the invention of electricity. And now there are several thousand watt light bulbs installed that can produce the light of 80,000 candles. Suddenly, the light was much brighter and it could be seen for 20 miles, even on a dark, stormy night. It flashed every 7.5 seconds. But the church, ladies and gentlemen, has access to the brightest light of them all because we are connected to the one and only source of God's love and His presence when we stay connected to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His light, not our light, that shines into the world. This alone is the one and only true source of light. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the face of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. If the light is to continue to shine and do its job, you and I have to become better lighthouse keepers. Well, what does the keeper do? He is the whole purpose in one. He has one job: to keep the light burning brightly at all costs. In the older days, the lighthouse keeper had to constantly clean and maintain and keep the light repaired. If the flame burned low or the lenses or mirrors got dirty or the wick of the old oil burner needed to be trimmed, he had to go to work because lives were depending on him to perform his duty and on him to do it correctly. The first keeper of the lighthouse at Cape Hatteras was Adam Gaskin. He was on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He earned $333 a year, and he had a place to live. Due to his hard work and those who followed him, the lighthouse burned steadily and constantly for 129 years, 47,000 nights without a single failure because of his hard work during the years he was alive and working there. You see, the men and women who kept the light burning were called keepers of the flame. As members of the body of Christ, you and I are keepers of the flame. As this world grows darker and even closer to the shores of eternal judgment, there is a greater need for the light of the gospel to shine. There are souls in the balance who will surely sink into the depths of hell if we fail to let our lights shine. Most of the church world complains and moans about the sinful condition of the world, but where there is light, they are supposed to shine their light into the darkness. We need to learn the principle that it's better to light a candle than it is to curse the darkness. Stop cursing the darkness. It doesn't change anything, but you light your candle. You shine your light into the world, and it makes all the difference in the world. Well, there came a time when Cape Hatteras Lighthouse got into danger itself. The constant wave action of the sea over the years had eroded the shore to the point many feared the lighthouse would collapse into the waters. When it was originally built, it was 1,500 feet from the shore, but at that point, the water was 150 feet away from the building. The decision was made to save the lighthouse by moving it back 2,900 feet to the southwest and 1,600 feet inland. In 1999, the relocation process was in all the papers around the world. The International Chimney Corporation of Brooklyn, New York was hired to do the moving. Their slogan was, "If you can build it, we can move it, if you have the money." The U.S. government spent $12.5 million to move that lighthouse. This company jacked it up, and they built railroad tracks down to the new location. People from miles around came and camped out to watch them move this lighthouse. But after a few days, most of those who had been watching left because, well, only a rate of 2 to 3 feet per day. They all got bored because the lighthouse, they couldn't even tell whether it was moving or not. But after they moved that lighthouse, something happened. You see, the people who owned it changed the purpose of the lighthouse. From that point forth, it became a park and museum where people could go to admire the lighthouse, to enjoy it and learn about what it did in days gone by during its glory days. But it doesn't save any lives anymore. The church was established by the Lord to be saving stations. But far too many churches have become little more than a museum. People aren't being saved in those churches anymore. The congregation only comes to ease their own conscience or to hear the pastors and teachers who will help them to feel good about themselves as they accept their sinful lives as normal. Many come just to be entertained. All up and down the East Coast are yacht clubs in every city. You know, these things started out as rescue stations, but through the years they found out it was more fun to socialize than to rescue. They forgot their purpose. They stopped rescuing people and became a source of entertainment. The church has done the same thing in many ways in many places. It no longer provides the guiding light of the gospel. The church has forgotten its purpose. Even though they successfully moved that lighthouse at Cape Hatteras, the original problem still exists today. Diamond Shoals is still a 14-mile shifting sandbar off the coast. That area is still called the Graveyard of the Atlantic. In spite of the modern technology and all the conveniences, there's still many times when ships in trouble still need that old lighthouse standing up there on a hill. We can't afford to let the light of the gospel die out in our hearts or in our churches. Our Heavenly Father has commissioned each of us to spread the hope of the gospel to the ends of the earth. The Messiah is the only hope this world has. There is no other light. There is no other lighthouse nor keeper of the flame than you and I. As God works through us and through the church that Jesus Christ Himself established through His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, has called you and me to be that keeper of the flame. We are to be witnesses of God's love, mercy, and grace. We're to tell the world about the Savior. We are their only hope. We must never lose sight of our purpose. Let's always keep our eyes on our true, real mission. We can modernize and bring in technologies and innovations into our ministry, but we must stay true to our purpose as given to us by God. We must always search for ways to bring the gospel of the Lord to a lost and dying world. In conclusion today, sometimes we think that the work of the Lord is accomplished only by the big things in life. We think if I could sing, I could make a difference. Or if I had the gift of making lots of money, I could help to build a new church building. On and on it goes, if I could only. But a lighthouse keeper thinks of one thing throughout the day. He thinks of doing maintenance on the lighting mechanism that he is keeping up, because if he daydreams about what he could be if it was bigger, then the maintenance goes lacking and boats on the stormy water could well run into the barrier reef, if not for the light coming from their lighthouse. For you and me, it makes a huge difference when we serve the Lord, no matter how small or how insignificant you think your task might be. One morning, there was a young boy walking along the beach. He noticed that morning that the tide had washed hundreds of starfish up on the shore. When the tide receded, they were left behind. Now, with the morning sunshine beating upon them, they would overheat and die. The tide was fresh and the starfish were alive at this point. And so the boy reached over and picked up one of them and threw it back into the water. He kept doing that over and over as he continued his trek down the beach. Just behind him was a man who couldn't understand what this little boy was doing. He caught up with him and said, "Son, what in the world are you doing? There are hundreds, maybe thousands of starfish along the beach. How many do you think you can help just by yourself? What difference does it make anyway?" Well, the boy didn't immediately reply, but he took two more steps, reached down, picked up another starfish, and threw him into the water. Turned around and looked at the man, and he said, "It made a difference with that one. What difference are you making in the world? Is the light fixture in your life maintenanced by reading God's word and by praying? Or is it dim from neglect? You might well think it's not important because your life should be shining for Christ, but it is shining something else. But that one person who sees the true light because you were faithful to Christ will say, it made a difference for me.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see.
And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no
that everybody about us says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships just don't pass this way anymore. So there's no use of it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that one dark, stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, it was the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sea,
to Him. To say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.